Today, for the first time, air traffic controllers publicly discussed how they responded to the terrorist attacks on September 11th. Before that day, there had never been an emergency shutdown of U.S. air traffic. But after the first two hijackings were reported, the Federal Aviation Administration ordered more than 4,500 aircraft to land immediately. NPR's Andrea Seabrook reports now on the events of that day and the string of decisions made in quick succession that took every plane out of the U.S. skies by just after noon that day.
U.S. skyways are governed by the Air Traffic Control System Command Center in Herndon, Virginia. It looks like NASA ground control, a huge room with 11 different maps projected on the 20-foot walls, each a different chart of North America and the world. The room is packed with air traffic control managers at horseshoe-shaped consoles, each watching over three or four computer monitors, keyboards, and several telephones. Through this command center, airport towers around the country talk to each other.
Hey, good morning. This is Al over in Vegas. How you been?
All right.
Good. Hey, I want to open up on config 1, 1925, 68 rate. Looks like I should be there all day.
Okay.
The managers oversee control towers where planes are guided through airspace. Air traffic controllers make sure pilots steer clear of each other, take off and land on time, and stay on their flight plans within radar contact. But that didn't happen the morning of September 11th. Controllers knew by 8:40 a.m. that American Airlines Flight 11 out of Boston's Logan Airport was hijacked. Phone calls relayed from a flight attendant on the plane through airline reservations told the gruesome story. One passenger was already dead, a crew member was seriously wounded, and the cockpit had been taken over. Air traffic controllers watched as the plane's radar transponder switched off. No more blip on the screen. Pilots and controllers had been trained to deal with hijackers, fly them where they want to go, and communicate their demands. But there was no communication, and Flight 11 slammed into the World Trade Center. Dave Knowles was heading air traffic investigations that day. He and others at the command center responded to what they thought was an accident.
We began investigating and talking to the facilities and the regions who were involved in the handling of the various flights.
By then, another blip had vanished from controller screens. United Flight 175, also out of Boston. 15 minutes later, it crashed into the other tower of the World Trade Center. Linda Schuessler was in the Tactical Operations Unit.
As more information became apparent that we had something more than just two specific incidents, we began closing the system down.
The controllers had already called NORAD, North American Aerospace Defense Command, about the hijackings. Now they called a first-tier ground stop. No flights destined for New York airspace were allowed to take off, first from any airport in the Northeast, then nationwide. By 9:30 a.m., controllers were suspicious of 11 different flights, but had determined that American Flight 77 out of Washington's Dulles Airport and United Flight 93 out of Newark were missing. At that time, FAA officials opened a direct line to NORAD, and all flight departures in the United States were stopped on the ground, regardless of their destination. Investigator Dave Knowles said by that point he was gathering any information he could get.
We didn't have a window that looked out to the west from there, so I did send a member of the staff over after hearing that there was an airplane headed towards Washington, and I said, go look out the window and see what you can see.
The staffer came back with news. Smoke was billowing out of the Pentagon. At that moment, the head air traffic manager on duty made the decision to ground every plane in U.S. airspace for the first time in history. Word went out from Central Command here in Herndon, and every air traffic controller on duty in the United States guided their own set of planes to the nearest practical airport, one that had the capacity to take in more planes while still skirting northeastern airspace. They rerouted thousands of airplanes and overwhelmed every major airport in the country. As Linda Schuessler of Tactical Operations put it, the information system was in total chaos, but the controllers were not.
We have a job to do. We don't have the emotion coming into play. We're well disciplined, and so the job at hand took over.
All of the more than 4,500 flights were safely on the ground within 2.5 hours. Airspace was closed for 3 days with only limited access by medical aircraft. As the airways slowly reopened, and in the months since then, says Dave Knowles, the FAA changed emergency plans substantially.
We've increased our state of readiness. We focused tremendously on communications, and I think we're better prepared to handle anything that might happen in the system today than we've ever been before in history.
He says the most important change is that direct communication between the FAA and NORAD has continued since that day. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Herndon, Virginia.